The Holy Gospel is written in the 13th chapter of St. Matthew, reading from the 31st verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Once, a long time ago, in a universe far away, I was a freshman at Carthage College. And in those days, freshmen were forced to wear red beanies with a little C on it so that we would be fair game for the upperclassmen. And not surprisingly, we freshmen stuck together. And I struck up a friendship with a fellow freshman named Liz. And she and I walked the Carthage beach together, sometimes in the evening, and we talked theology. And on that beach and in our walks, we felt the awesome, assuring, and sometimes unsettling power of God when the moon rose blood red from Lake Michigan's depths. And there I found it, a smooth, completely circular rock about the size of a baseball, granite. And that talisman occupied my desks at Carthage College and at seminary and the churches I served. And for me, it became a rock of confidence and assurance that I have come to associate with this morning's Romans text. Because Romans 8, that we just read, is the rock of my life. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Liz and I were taking New Testament together, and we were being stretched beyond our Sunday school and childhood faith and our studies, and it was an unsettling but an exciting time to have a door opened and you walk into a world that you did not know existed. And I was also taking a course on Martin Luther, and I read how he had been grasped by the grace of God in Romans, and hints of that grace began to grow and sprout in me. And Romans became the textual rock that formed us on our beach walks. Romans became that very important part of our lives as we discussed and we were pulled into God's unconditional love and grace that came through the Romans text that we just read today. And that text was to become very crucial for Liz, and a bit more of that later. Just a quick note to my wife of 51 years, Christine. Liz and I had an inquiring friendship. There was no romantic interest whatsoever. Not even a hint. Just two nervous freshmen discovering faith anew and experiencing ideas we'd never thought of before. So, got that straight. We can move on. Well, we pick up special rocks in our lives. There's something about holding a smooth rock in your hand. It feels right, it is hard, it is lasting, and you can put that rock on your desk and it will be there tomorrow and the day after, there for you for all time, a memory, a power, a promise. Well, the rock I picked up on the beach became my Romans rock. I always thought of it that way. And one could take a rock like that and sling it at the Goliath of death in all of its forms. Despair, anxiety, loneliness, fear, the death of relationships, spiritual death, physical death. And when we grasp that rock of Romans 8, the giants of our fear become crashing down. And so let's examine carefully that rock, which is Romans 8. First, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we feel weak, when we feel helpless, even to form a prayer, we aren't alone, because the rock of Romans says that the very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Sometimes the best prayer is a sigh. Even when we cannot pray, the Spirit is praying through us and for us. That is to say that God's Spirit isn't out there someplace. I mean, it's here. A God with us. And the God within is reaching us out to others and to the world. And so even when we can't ask, God is bringing the divine to us. That is blessed assurance. Well, we can rotate that rock a little bit more and see another dimension, Romans again. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? If God is for us, we can face all things. Romans again. He who did not withhold his only Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not give us everything else? The depth of God's love is given to us in Jesus, the unsurpassable gift of unconditional love. No love is more complete. Pure, unearned grace. A love with no ifs. All-embracing love. Again, from Romans, who will bring any charge against God's elect? Who can accuse us? We may feel accused, and we may accuse ourselves, but Romans speaks to us. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? You know, in the Bible, Satan is basically seen as the accuser that tells us that we are shameful, that we are worthless, that we are failing, that we are undeserving, and that is a death spiral. But God declares us justified and loved freely, and that robs the accuser of all power. And if there is any doubt about that, the Romans rock speaks again. It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Christ himself intercedes on our behalf. You know, when I would get into trouble with my mother, hard to believe, but it happens from time to time. If I got into trouble with my mother, I knew that if I could just get out of the house, run across the hill to my grandmother's house, get through the kitchen door, hear that screen door slam behind me, I knew I was saved. Because she would take me by the hand and she would walk me home and she would intercede for me. "Now, now, Barbie," she'd say to my mother, "it's not that bad." Jesus walks us to a renewed life unconditionally. Well, rotating that rock once again, we come to the words that mean so much to me personally. St. Paul writes, It's good for us to hear this again. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing separates us from Jesus, not in our lives, not in death, because he is bringing us home to him. Well, as I said, I walked the beach years ago with my friend Liz, and I picked up a rock. And we both felt the unconditional power of God's love in Romans, and that great grace shaped us, and it grew our faith into a new world. Well, the last time I saw Liz was my second year at Carthage College, hers too. And she was in a Kenosha hospital, sadly dying of leukemia. No more remissions. Her life was about to end. We all knew it. She knew it. And I was leaving for Easter break and to go to Iowa, and she was at peace. And the rock of Romans spoke through her to me. Do not worry. I will be safe. And the words came, what will separate us from the love of Christ? The gift and power of Romans arose in her and raised her from the grave that she faced. And she died on Good Friday, age 19, wrapped in the blessed assurance of faith. Grace is not an idea. It is a lived reality. Well, as we go through life, we face our changes and challenges, and one day we will die. And when we face the growing dark, we have a smooth rock of power that has shaped our entire lives and prepared us for that moment. It tells us that nothing separates us from Jesus. It fills us with the love of God. Like waves on the beach, this love is always there, steady, filling, washing us with renewing grace, and leaving us a polished rock to grasp all of our days. Romans 8, the rock of our faith. Amen.